Hello, my name's Adam. I'm from Devon in England, and I'm a cold police.
Everybody, and welcome to Code Talks, the Coldplay Fans podcast, for another conversation and another week and another episode. My name is Rodrigo. I'm your host for this podcast. I speak from Brazil. And today we have a very nice episode, I must say. Today is an episode out of the curve, out of the basics, out of the regulars that we do here. Because, well, today we have Adam, as you have already seen on the title of this podcast. And Adam is a driver. He is a bus driver. But he's a bus driver for a company that drives people on tour. So he has been working on the Music of the Spheres World Tour, specifically on the European leg of the tour. And I found that fascinating. And, well, I think that the less that you know, the better for this episode. So I'll keep Adam in the dark for now. And you know him in the actual podcast. Well, first of all, I wanted to say, if you don't do it already, please consider following the podcast in the platform that you're listening to. Also, please consider rating us in the platform that you're listening to, if that's an option that's available for you. If you like the podcast and want to support the show, please consider buying me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/CodeTalksPod. And talking about it, follow us in all social media. We are at CodeTalksPod on Instagram and Twitter. Other interesting thing about today's guest is that, well, usually we talk to people from the Coldplay fandom on Twitter, which is a very nice community. We all met each other there, basically. I know that we have like a very strong community on Facebook and a very strong community on Discord as well. If you're listening to this podcast from these other communities, well, hello, you are welcome here. And but Adam is not on either of them. I found him on Instagram. He messaged me. He DM'd me on Instagram. And I found it nice as well because he shared lots of the principles and ideas that we share here on the Twitter community. And I found it very nice to bring someone from outside of the community. So if you like the conversation, please consider like following him. His Instagram handle is somewhere, is in the title of this episode. So please consider following him, talking to him as well. He's a lovely person. I'm pretty sure that you will love him as much as I did. And that being said, I think it's time for episode. Yeah, let's go. Code Talks Adam right now. Adam, hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty fine as well. Well, the first thing that I want to like mention here on the podcast is that I don't think that you are like this podcast usually talks with people from Coldplay Twitter.
Okay. Yep.
That I think it's not kind of your case, I guess.
Right. Okay. Yep.
Are you from? Do you know people like from Coldplay Twitter or something like that?
No. To be honest, I'm not on Twitter, so I guess I'm going to be like the odd one out in one of your interviews.
Oh, I don't think so. I think it's a nice way for everyone to meet each other because like we have a very nice bond because of like the band and this kind of thing. So I think everyone when people hit play on this podcast, they're 100% like into the idea of meeting new stories and new Coldplay fans. So I mean,
of course, yeah.
But that's like, is a nice thing because I mean. In the beginning, there was never this idea of only talking to people on Twitter. So and this just
yeah, of course, yeah.
Happened. It happened. So it's nice to have you.
It just sort of blew up in that area, and
exactly.
Now you have.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, we are a very nice community. Like there are lots of great people there. There are lots of. It's like a big brotherhood of people and sisterhood of people that are just very connected because of a very specific reason. But well, I just wanted to make the intro like you're not maybe the most familiar faces from everybody who is listening right now, but Yes. Hold up, everybody, because I'm pretty sure we're going to have like a very nice story, and that's a very nice way for us to meet new people. So, Adam, please present yourself and like tell us why you're here, and especially how did you meet the band, or how did you get in contact with them for the first time? How was that?
So I am lucky enough to work in the music industry. I work as a tour bus driver, so I drive lots of bands, lots of artists, lots of different crews from all over the world. And I've just recently been working with, I was actually working with Coldplay support artist, which is her. And I was driving her and her crew.
Got it.
And I was lucky enough to attend the gig in Poland, in Warsaw.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I've been a Coldplay fan for a long, long time. I mean, ever since their first album, Parachutes.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I've been with them for a long time.
That's more than 20 years.
My brother actually, yeah, exactly. My brother actually introduced me to them a long time ago. He had the album Parachutes. And ever since I heard that album, I just fell in love with them. And so I've been with them since the beginning, I guess. But I've never seen them live, which is...
That was going to be my next question. How many times have you seen them live?
It's kind of strange because I have... Obviously, there's many bands that I like and love. Coldplay are one of them. But I never... I don't know. I just guess that the opportunity never came around. They were always playing somewhere where I couldn't quite make it, or for a number of different reasons.
Got it.
I've never actually seen them until I saw them in Warsaw, in Poland, I think, what was it, last week or the week before?
Yeah.
And oh my Lord, just what a show. I'm completely taken back by it, to be honest. I was not, I mean, as a big Coldplay fan, of course, I knew it was going to be good, but I did not expect it to be
like that.
As good as
Dickens. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I have my tickets for the Music of the Spheres World Tour. They're coming to Brazil on October. Yeah, okay, on October. Yeah. And but I see people talking about this tour, and I see like something different happening. Like, I was not on Coldplay Twitter, and like I was of course part of the fandom, and I was part of the group of people who like Coldplay, like actively on the internet since maybe Milo Xyloto, but not like for meeting people and talking to them as we are right now.
Yeah.
So but that's the first time that it's happening on this tour. And I see like lots of people having the opportunity of like talking to Phil Harvey and getting noticed by the band in some very small ways, but like I can see, especially after all those years of the pandemics, I can see like people that are having like they started something when they could only be in their houses, and now they are getting that into like they're meeting people. Like there are lots of people, even lots of I talked about that on Twitter some days ago. There are lots of people who have already been here or something like that, that now are seeing themselves like in real life. So it's like...
Yes, yeah, absolutely. It's quite surreal.
Yes.
It really is. I mean, I doing my job, I mean, I get to meet famous people all the time, you know, and it kind of, after a while, it's like all my friends back home, they think that I have this amazing job and it's all great. And you know what it is? It is a really good job. I'm really lucky to do what I do and earn money doing something that I genuinely love.
That's
but at
amazing.
The same time, you do get used to it. It still becomes a job, you know?
Get it.
So, but every once in a while, something happens doing my job and it takes you back and it kind of sits you back in your chair and it makes you realize how lucky you are to be doing what you're doing. And that Coldplay gig was 100% one of those moments. I mean, Chris Martin, I mean, I don't want to spoil it for anyone who's got tickets to see them, including yourself. Okay. I don't want to spoil it. I want it to be a surprise, you know?
Oh, but my gosh.
Without giving too much away, I mean, how he gets his energy, where he gets his energy from, it'd be awesome.
Oh, that's a good question. That's a very good question.
Honestly, honestly, I mean, he just does not stop moving.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they don't just have one stage. They've got a few stages on this tour. And they're going back and forth between the stages. And wow. Honestly, I mean, I was just absolutely blown away by the whole performance. Yeah. And
yeah, I used to say that Chris Martin like gets this great amount of energy as a result, like as something that, as if he's just giving back what the audience is giving to the whole band.
Yeah.
And I think this is kind of true. But at the same time, I mean, it's,
absolutely.
Even when they didn't have like an audience at all. I remember a concert they did on Glastonbury last year, which literally them and that was it. Like there, it was them and Chris said that since it was Glastonbury, it was them and the cows.
It certainly was. I actually know the guy. So the company that I work for, which obviously I'm not going to name, but the company that I work for, they drive Coldplay a lot, you know.
That's nice.
Coldplay always come and use the same company, and so our company are used to seeing Coldplay when they're out on tour, when they're on the road. And I actually know a couple of the drivers that were working on that gig.
Oh, nice!
So they took them down to Glastonbury, and they said from, obviously you can't see it on the camera, but he said from behind the camera.
Got it.
The only crowd they had were the crew and the drivers, you know, maybe 15 people, maybe 20 people. That was all they had.
Yeah.
So they were playing this gig, which was streamed around the world, you know?
Yeah.
To literally a handful of people. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. And they,
but they still have like the same amount of energy. And of course, it's not a stadium concert. It's not like 50,000 people, but at the same time, there are 50,000 people online.
Oh yeah, and more of easily.
Even more, yeah. And on that Glastonbury concert specifically, there was a problem on people who bought the tickets and could not access the actually streaming from. And because of that, they made it like free. Like everybody had the link.
Everybody had the
streaming. Yeah. So there was even more. There was even more people. There was even more listeners and
people
viewers.
Than there would have been. Yeah.
Yeah. The people who wouldn't be there. So that.
Exactly.
But at the same time, as you said, they were playing for like 15, 20 people. But it's the exact same amount of not only energy, but like it's the same level of quality. You know what I mean? Like,
yes. Absolutely. They're very consistent.
Yes. Yeah, I like this word.
In their performance.
I love the word that you use. They're consistent. Like they play the same thing for like a small number of people. Even like when they were playing for the Everyday Life tour some years ago. Or even Ghost Stories that they actually didn't tour.
Yeah. And that's the thing with these gigs. I mean, the way that they do these stadium shows is they want to make it the same for everyone. So generally speaking, the set list stays the same. Everything stays the same. The show stays the same. All the different cue points in each part of the show stay the same for different parts. Because why? Some people would say, well, hey, you know, doesn't that get a bit boring? But then on the other hand, Why should someone go one night and pay, I don't know, maybe $250, $300 for a ticket to see them, and then someone go the next night and pay the same amount of money to see a completely different show? It doesn't make sense. You know? So I think that's why they do this thing for the fans, and they want to make sure that everyone gets the best show that they can get, and everyone gets to say, everyone buys the same show, basically.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
It's the same experience, right? They buy the same.
Exactly that, yeah.
The same opportunity to feel the same feelings and like be on the same place. It's a very nice thing, and it talks about like it talks a lot about equality. That is one of the greatest pillars of Coldplay, because
yes, absolutely,
it is something like among the fans. This like same set list thing is not always well received. You know what I mean? Like
no.
And I understand that. I get that. Like we want to see like different songs.
And I me too. I mean, I'm a hardcore Coldplay fan, but I like a lot of other bands. And
get it.
You know, don't get me wrong. There's been times where I've criticized a band for, hey, well, you know, they're playing the same set every night.
Yeah.
But I think when you go and see the Music of the Spheres tour and you see how much they put into it, it makes sense. You know?
Yeah.
And you kind of think, well, yeah, okay, why would they want to change the set list when they have this whole show rehearsed the way it is?
Yes.
And that's the way that they want to sell it to the fans, and that's what the fans want. So yeah. I guess it works, you know?
And it's something because the set list is something, but the concert is actually other thing. It doesn't mean that, like,
yes,
because it is not because they have the same set list or basically the same set list on all concerts that the concerts are exactly the same, because the audience isn't the same, you know? Like, so
yes,
there are some people on this tour, especially on Europe. I saw lots of people doing that on the United States, but on Europe, I'm seeing that like a lot. Some people that are going to like 10, 12 concerts like on the same tour in a row. They are in Paris right now, but there are some people who were seeing them on like Frankfurt and then Berlin and now Paris and then they're going to the London shows on Wembley. Lots of people are going to those concerts and there's like 5 or 6 concerts there. But and I truly get those people. Because, like, I remember once that a very loved fan on the community called Jimmy Dushku, maybe you already know him. He has been on basically, like, 100 Coldplay concerts. And I asked him that, like, man, that's a lot, like, 100 concerts. And he told me that once Chris Martin got to him and say, oh, I see you every night. Is there something that I can do for you not to have the same exact experience? And he talked exactly that, like, you don't need to, because it is not the same experience. It may be the same set list, yeah, but it's not the same set list.
You know, maybe just the fact that Chris Martin spotted him and spoke to him was enough to change the experience.
Yes. And this is something, like, this tour is being very intimate at the same time that it's been huge, huge. Like yesterday we had the Paris concert that was broadcasted live for the whole world.
Yeah.
And we were all listening and there was a fan there that is a friend of ours that just screamed like, Coldplay Twitter loves you or something like that. And Chris Martin just said like, we love you too. And, I mean, it's a very small thing. Like it's a very like, okay, Chris Martin. He even said something like, I don't know you. Like, we're not friends, of course. But I love you because I love everyone. And he said something like that. And it was so nice. I mean, it creates a proximity, an intimacy with literally 70,000 people. Like, at the same time, you're playing absolutely for this... crowd.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to intimate shows with other bands, you know, and how Chris and the band make a stadium show with hundreds of God knows how many thousand people. How they make that intimate is something quite special because they really do. I mean, obviously, one of the main things they do that with is, of course, as you know, is the wristbands. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the wristbands, when Chris comes out on stage and he almost like a magician, you know, he puts his fingers to one area of the arena and it all lights up, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, something so, so special and so, so great to see, especially after the pandemic. Actually quite emotional. I was actually, I'm not ashamed to admit that I was quite emotional at the conference.
If you weren't emotional, then we would have a problem, but not on this case.
Well, I mean, Coldplay are a band who I've held close to my heart for a long time.
Yeah.
They're also a band that have got me through some of the worst patches of my life, you know. Some of the worst things that have happened in my life, I've turned to Coldplay. I've turned to one of their albums or I've turned to some of their songs. And... Like I said at the beginning of the interview, you know, I've never actually had the chance to see them live for one reason or another. So So when I did get to see them live, and I purposely didn't, because I'm sure you've heard of the website setlist.fm.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can go and you can view any pretty much any band set list from a tour.
Yeah.
I purposely avoided looking on the site as much as I wanted to. I was like, right, I don't want to see what they're going to play. I'm just going to go out there and I'm just going to be in the crowd and I'm just going to get what they give, you know. And I mean, some of the tracks they played that I really didn't expect them to really blew me away. You know,
yeah, I think I know what you're talking about because it did blew me away as well.
Yeah. And I mean, is it okay to talk about some of the songs they played or
perfectly
I don't know if you want to keep
okay.
that
No, that's perfectly or... okay. That's perfectly okay.
Yeah. But they played. So one of my all time favorite Coldplay tracks is Politic.
I knew it.
from the Rush of Blood to the Head album. Yeah. I just love that track. I really like the way that it starts and ends so differently, the way it progresses, the lyrics, the feeling of the breakdown in the middle of it and the emotions behind it.
Yes.
And I remember this was one of those tracks that I turned to, you know, when I was going through a real rough patch in my life, maybe 6 or 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was going through a really bad time and I listened to this song almost on repeat, you know. And I almost got bored of the track, you know, because I listened to it so much. But to be there when it came on, and you got the loud bit at the beginning, the drums going, and you got all the strobe lights going up, and obviously, of course, instantly I knew what track they were playing, and I was just like, wow! And it took me straight back there, and I had tears in my eyes, you know, just listening to this track because it sounded exactly like it does on the album.
Yes.
And it really took me to that place.
Sometimes it's and even I better, I would say, like from the album.
Yeah, I just couldn't believe that I was seeing it live in front of my eyes.
Yes.
And watching Chris Martin spin around in circles with his hand in the air as the track started, I was just like, wow, this is really, I'm really in almost a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. This is something so special.
Yeah.
And it really was, you know.
You're talking like
that. And also
that. Come on.
Sorry,
come on.
Carry on.
No, come on.
Well, that particular gig, I mean, Chris Martin talked after a few songs. He actually stopped and he said, wow. He said, guys, I just can't believe. He said, this is such a special night. He said, he said, honestly, the energy that I'm getting off you guys is crazy, you know. But I think he genuinely meant it. You know, it wasn't one of these things that bands say every night at a gig. You could see his face. He was genuinely flabbergasted with the energy he got from the crowd, with the response that he was getting. I think all the band were the same. But I think it was something special. And yeah, and there was a couple of things in the show as well. Like towards the end, He'd brought a Ukrainian guy up on the stage.
Yeah, I was going to ask you to talk about that because, I mean, I think that was one of the most beautiful things that they did in this tour.
It was, yeah.
Definitely.
So basically, he'd been walking around the city the day before the show with the band, you know, maybe just sightseeing, maybe a couple of having a drink in a bar or whatever. And anyway, they come across this guy who was busking, and he was busking with his Ukrainian flag, and I mean, this guy was really good as well.
Yeah.
So they stopped and they sort of approached him after watching him for a while, and Chris said, "Look, we're Coldplay, and we're playing the stadium tomorrow. Would you like to come and open for us?
Yeah.
And also get up and do a song with us in our set?" And of course, I mean, what idiot would say no? You know, so of course he agreed. And obviously, you know, the whole with the situation in the world, but now what's happening in the Ukraine, you know, obviously was a big part of it. So it that was also really special to see, you know. And and he sung a song in Ukrainian, he sung a Ukrainian song. I mean, don't ask me what it's called because I can't remember.
Yeah, I have the set list right on my face, and I'm reading this name like thousands and thousands of times, but I cannot dare to pronounce it. So.
Pronounce it? So Chris Martin sang a little bit of it with him, and they played it together, and it was really something special. I think every show has a little bit of something that they hand pick, you know. I mean, there was also a guy that from the audience that wanted to play a song.
Mm-hmm. Let Somebody Go.
That's the one, Let Somebody Go, yeah. And you know, he said, of course you can. Come up.
Yeah, this is happening a lot on this tour. Like specifically on this song, like people are asking to play this song with Chris Martin, and because it's a piano version, it's just the piano and voice basically. So, lots of people are doing that, and this is not new for Coldplay. Like they do that a lot. I have on the park. I don't know if you remember last year they made a concert on the Pledge Arena, the Climate Pledge Arena. Have you seen that? They streamed on Amazon.
I think I've seen the clip. Is this when they also got someone up to play?
Not to play. They got a 6-year-old fan on the stage, basically, and his mother as well. And I interviewed them. They were here. It's Patrick, 6-year-old Patrick. He is a drummer. He got like Will's drumstick. He went to the stage for the last song, which was Coloratura. I mean, they're doing that since then. And even before that, I have a guest here, which is Reese, that he actually played, I think it was Everglow, with Chris Martin on the piano.
Yes.
In a very similar way. And this wasn't the Half Full of Dreams. This is like 5 years old for now. It's so beautiful that like I cannot remember like many artists doing that like so often.
No.
Usually that happens. Yeah,
it's becoming more common now, I think.
Yes,
I know the Foo Fighters have done it a few times before, and also the Killers. I mean, I just drove Brandon Flowers maybe a month ago or a month and a half ago. I did a show with the Killers, and I drove the lead singer. And they were doing the same on their tour also. Not every gig, but they were every other gig. If someone was holding up a sign, they would let them come up and play whatever song it was. And, you know, it's really great to see any band do it, but especially bands that you like, you know, bands like Coldplay.
Yeah.
And I think generally speaking, these guys, they don't go out there and hold up these signs unless they know they can do it, you know. So,
yes.
And I think the band sort of know that as well. So they always give them a chance. They say, "Hey, sure, if you've got the balls to have that sign, then you can come up and play for sure."
Yeah, if you have that sign, it means that you really know how to play this song and won't like fuck it up and those kind of things. I mean,
yeah, exactly that. Yeah,
I can only imagine. Like, I am a musician. I play the keyboard, but if I did something like that, I guess I would probably like destroy the song. Like, I would be banned from Coldplay concerts like forever because I would get so excited, and then I would like change the chords and miss the notes, of course. But yeah, if someone like actually hold a sign saying "let me play this or that song," happened in the beginning of the tour with a very old song called "Gravity." Like a fan, like hold a sign, "Can I play Gravity with you guys?" And they said, "Yeah, sure." Which is a song that like it's more than 15 years old by now. And I mean, that was something that I wasn't expecting.
I mean, some of their tracks are just no matter how old they are, they never get
old,
if that makes sense. I mean, like some of their songs, I mean, like the Scientist or Politic, or I mean, from their first album, Yellow, obviously, you know, it's like, I think it doesn't matter how old or young you are. If a song like Yellow comes on, people know it or they can relate to it, you know? And that's what's so special about a band like Coldplay.
Yeah. And I think like it's not, you mentioned like Yellow and The Scientist, which are like smash hit songs. But even though, those songs, like B-sides from them, like they don't get old. I mean, and I have like, I don't know, in my perspective, they don't get old because Coldplay is still repeating the same message that they did in the first albums. Like they have the same, of course they changed. Thank God they changed.
It's nice to see them change.
Yes.
Transition as a band.
Yes.
I think, I mean, a lot of my favorite bands changed. And, you know, I think it's a good thing. A lot of people have a, not a problem, but what's the word I'm looking for? A lot of people don't like it when fans change too much.
Yeah.
And I guess with Coldplay, they sort of changed from being this sort of background acoustic sort of piano band to maybe being a bit more mainstream.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, they're still writing great songs and, you know, they're still a great band. So I don't think it matters.
And those songs still exist. Like if you like Parachutes and don't like, I don't know, Music of the Spheres, well, you can stream Parachutes and not Music of the Spheres. That's okay.
Yes, of course, yes.
And they still play Parachute songs like on concerts and, but you know, it is not healthy for a band to keep doing the same thing over and over and over again.
I remember when they released Milo.
Yeah.
And
That album was
the first.
Yeah.
That was probably the first. Well, actually, that's not the first album they released. The first album that they released that I really saw a change was Viva La Vida.
Yeah.
It's Viva La Vida, isn't it?
Yeah. But I guess they consolidated this change on Milo Zalato, that's for sure.
But then Milo, when it started really getting more mainstream and you could hear it. But you know, I still liked, but then they released Ghost Stories. I sort of fell back in love with them a little bit.
Yeah.
Because they released that album when I was actually with an ex partner of mine, an ex girlfriend.
Got it.
Who, you know, we had a great relationship, but they released that album during the year that I was with her. Well, I was with her for a couple of years, but when they released that album, we had it in the, I remember buying it, we both loved it. We used to listen to it all the time. And then when we parted sometime later, when we split, that album became even more meaningful to me.
I guess.
And some of the tracks on it, I mean, even Sky Full of Stars, which is a really big hit.
But
what a song. And the lyrics are amazing. If you actually sit and listen and read the lyrics to some of their songs, you can really get a picture of the story behind it, you know?
And it's something like, you mentioned the Sky Full of Stars and Ghost Stories is an album that people who came here and who comes here actually love to talk about that album because it was...
Yeah.
I don't know what happened, but lots of people have stories similar to your story. Like when that album came out, I was dealing with this and that in my life and this was happening and that was happening and it felt like the perfect fit. And those things were actually very different things that were happening to people. Some people who were never been in a relationship got very like connected to this album. And the thing is, this album is of course about a relationship, like rupture, and we all know that, we all know the stories, but even if we didn't know the backstories, even if there was just an album that Coldplay dropped and that was it, I mean, even though like people who never got like an intimate close relationship like that can feel this album because it's not an album about a breakup, it's an album about feelings, and I mean, we are human beings, we have feelings, so. Yeah, that was a genius catch from Coldplay.
If we go back to like a rush of blood to the head album and the song Politic, which actually for sure, I don't think I don't know what it's about exactly, but if you read the lyrics, I'm not sure it's about love or relationship, but you can still, if you're in a bad place like I was, you can still similarize it to that and it can still mean something to you. Even if it's not what the song's about, you know, and that's a great thing about music.
Yes, I was going to mention that.
You can relate to a song, even if it's not about something that you're going through.
Yes.
For sure, you can relate to it. You know, there'll be something about a certain song. Actually, I get that, or I feel that. not for the reason that he's talking about, but for the reason that I'm thinking about now, it makes sense to me.
It's so cool that you mentioned politics, because actually, like, I got in contact with that information some years ago, like years after I listened to politics for the first time and those kind of things. But actually, politics was written because of 9/11. It was based on 9/11. Okay. So,
yeah.
I mean, you talked about like how this can relate to a love song, and it sounds like a...
Yeah.
A love song, not a romantic song, but a love song, if you know what I mean. And in my opinion, it's not romantic at all. It's but it's about love at the same time. So, I mean, this illustrates exactly what we were talking about. Like, it is a song that was created because of the 9/11 events, but if you can see that.
Yeah, definitely. I think towards the end of the song, when obviously the lyrics...
Love over this.
Give me love.
Yeah.
Give me love. Yeah, give me love over this. And it's sort of, I think you can... Anyone who's going through a hard time in a relationship could symbolize it.
Yeah. And I love the fact...
Hey, never mind this bullshit. whatever's going on, the crap, you know, I just want love. Give me love over everything else. Like, that's what I want. And I think it's sort of the same sort of thing with politics, I guess. It's like, hey, we've had enough of the crap now. We've had enough of the bullshit in the lives.
Wow,
we just want some love for the people.
Yes.
And it's the same sort of, you can summarize it.
Wow, you summarized that so greatly. And it's something because I already talked to some people here on the pod about how Coldplay, when Coldplay addresses love on their songs, which is very common, very general on Coldplay songs.
Absolutely, yeah.
You can see that this is not necessarily romantic love. Actually, it's rare to see a Coldplay song that it's only about romantic love. Even like if you put...
And I think...
Come on.
I mean, you're 100%. I think with Ghost Stories, the whole album was...
Yeah.
Obviously, he recently parted with Gwyneth Paltrow and he was obviously going for a hard time. That mainly was what that album was about. But still... Like exactly like you said, if you go back across their albums and pick out certain songs, it's definitely more of talking about you might be talking about the emotion of love, but not as in a relationship or not as in loving a person, but maybe having love on a wider scale for the people or love for another subject, if that makes sense,
or only love and that's it. I remember when they released Higher Power, which was one of the first songs that we realized that, like, I mean, this song talks about anything, basically. Like, because like, he just said, like, I'm happy in my life at the same time as you because you've got a higher power that got me singing every second and dancing every hour. And you're really someone I want to know. Like, this can relate to literally anything. This song is about how love, in any way, reflects on our bodies, like... It's funny because he talks about physical reactions and how he's electric and how he's dancing and singing because of this higher power that someone gives him.
Yeah.
But it's at the same time that this is very broad and general, this is very specific. Very specific. And this is not easy to do. Like, this is not easy.
And he executes it so well.
Yes.
I mean, they actually opened with a higher power when I saw them in Warsaw.
Yeah.
Wow! I mean, what an opening it was. I mean, obviously you're going to go and see the show. So like I said, I don't want to give any too many spoilers, but it's just the whole show from start to finish was non-stop. I mean, there's the songs they played, the set list that they've written, which I think is so perfectly written.
Yeah.
The way that the poppy songs roll into the old classics that roll back into some of the poppier stuff that roll.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. And the pyrotechnics, the confetti.
Yes.
It was never ending.
They're
just
impeccable.
I mean,
when you talk about like visuals and those kind of things, they're just impeccable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
when it's done, I mean, I see it a lot during the job that I do, but when it's done right, wow. When it's really done right,
it it steps out, right?
It puts on a good show. Yeah. You know? It really does.
Yeah. And it's something because I remember, like, I have been to the I Have Full of Dreams tour on the very end, actually, when they finished, they started and finished the tour here in Latin America. And I have been to the ending, not the starting ones, but the ending concerts. I have been to them. And I remember going out of the concert with the feeling that I could do anything. That anything was possible. Like that. I have lived that moment and that was it. That was all I needed. Like to leave that, to be there and to be a part of that. And as you said, with the wristbands, with the live bands, you actually feel that you're part of it.
It really does. Makes everyone feel like they are part of the show.
It's like I felt responsible for that to happen as well. I remember on that concert that my Zelomen stopped working for some reason, and I got very frustrated. Like in the middle of the concert, like my Zelomen was not shining. I was like, okay, I've just broken it. I've broken my Zelomen somehow. and then it started again. So I felt like I had like a break of being a part of that because of this element that was not working. And I was very far behind of the... And this is something, like when you're very far behind or very very far from the actual stage, you have a very different experience, which is not better or worse than any others. Because when you are up there in the stadium, you can see like the big picture that people who are very close to the stage cannot see. So, I mean, they think about literally every single detail. And this, I have mentioned that like a dozen of times here, but I never get tired of mentioning how beautiful it is that they think about literally everything. Everything.
They do, They do. And I mean, obviously, they're really trying hard to reduce their carbon footprint, which is so hard when you're a band. And you know what? I actually heard some people putting them down yesterday or the day before. I was having a chat with some of the other drivers, the tour that I'm on at the moment. And I was chatting to some of the truck drivers and the other bus drivers, and they were saying, Coldplay, how they think they're going to reduce their carbon footprint with the amount of buses and lorries and stuff they have on their tours. But hey, you know, at least they're trying.
Yes.
No one's saying it's going to be easy, but at least they give it down and they're trying to reduce their carbon footprint. You know what I mean? Come on. There's bands go on tour every month, every year, and people don't even think about it. The fact that they're trying to raise awareness, and also that they donate so much of their ticket sales to help fund green energy, you know, is a really important thing, I think.
And this is starting to become something, because like lots of artists now, I think Shawn Mendes also got something that like that also committed actually to make like a greener tour. So this is starting to get, I think Selena Gomez did it as well, and lots of other artists like inspired by them. And it's that movement, it's beautiful. So someone started something and then other people are doing it as well. And they're not perfect. I know it. Like we all know it. Like they steal like on buses and those kind of things. What they can do to change that, they are doing. And it has already been said by Chris Martin himself that they're not 100% where they wanted to be. Which is obvious. Like they wouldn't have, it's not because of them. You know what I mean? Like, the whole world is structured in a way that it's not good for itself, the world itself.
Of course, yeah.
So what can they do?
I mean, the Coldplay tour with their support artists was, I think, when I was at the Warsaw show, I counted 15 tour buses, that's including the one that I was driving with the support band on.
Got it.
But, you know, but that seems excessive. But actually, you need that money because, you know, you have one... You have maybe five or six for the different crews, and then you have the caterers who look after the band backstage. They have to have one or two or three buses, however many staff there is. And then you have all these other staff members, riggers, sound engineers, lighting technicians, front of house, back of house, all the different... I mean, when you work in the industry that I work in and you work behind the scenes, You see how much goes into these shows.
Yes.
Well, you know, they can't put these shows on without their transport to the venue.
Of
they
course.
Can't put these shows on without the trucks to take all the staging and all the lighting.
Yeah.
You know. And hey, yeah, that does mean that the tickets are expensive for these shows. But then also the tickets are slightly more expensive because they want to give something back and they want to fund back into green energy
and they have like
look after their
yeah, and they have really and they have the Infinity tickets now. Have you seen that?
The Infinity? No, I've not heard about that. Well, I heard someone saying about it the other day, but what exactly are these?
Well, it's a specific kind of ticket that you buy that in the United States was like $20. Here in Brazil, it's 100 reais, and it's a way cheaper ticket that you buy to their concerts, and
okay,
which your seat gets randomly picked. You can be like literally anywhere, like you pay like a very small amount of money to go to the concert. Like, so I mean,
well, that's good.
Because
you know, I mean, not everyone can obviously not everyone's lucky enough to be able to afford to go to these shows, especially the expensive shows. I mean, you know, the Coldplay gigs are quite expensive.
Yeah.
But then, you know, like I just said, that's because a lot goes into it, a lot of pyrotechnics, a lot of visuals. You know, the cost has to be spread out so everyone gets their share.
Of course.
But obviously, the fact that they're doing that, I mean, it's just another great thing because they obviously are aware that not everyone can afford.
Yeah.
To go and see a band, yeah. Especially in today's climate. I mean,
yes.
It's not, you know.
And I mean, sometimes it's not, actually, most of the time, it's not just the concert. Like, it's not just the ticket.
Yeah.
It's like traveling and hosts and hotels and food. And it's a lot of things. So,
yeah.
Like, they cannot change flight tickets price and they cannot change like hotels pricing, but they can make something like the Infinity tickets. So
it's
very nice to see that. And some people actually got very mad because of that. Like some people were saying, oh, how come like I pay like, I don't know, $150 to go to a concert and then someone pay like $20 and get the same concert that I do. But I mean,
but the fact that they can even afford to pay a hundred and whatever dollars
exactly,
they're missing the whole point.
Yes.
Like you've paid maybe you've paid $150, but you can afford that. Clearly, that's why you've paid for it.
That's why
you
paid,
know?
Yes. Exactly.
Maybe someone who lives in a poor area or hasn't got much money or has to live in poverty slightly or whatever the reason is, someone who has to spend out a lot of money caring for someone in their family who is poorly or who is disabled or whatever the reason might be, they can't afford that ticket, and that's why we give them the opportunity.
Yeah. And I mean, it doesn't matter the reason. If the person is buying that ticket, it's because this person probably couldn't afford the other one. So for me, like to me, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter why. It should matter that this person is now having the opportunity to go to the concert, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah.
What matters is that a fan who really loves that band get the opportunity to go and see them.
Exactly.
That's all that's really important.
Yeah. Exactly. So I mean, that was a very like beautiful initiative and to made by the band. That it's again, it's something that I hope that we can see more and more, and not only with Coldplay, not only with this specific band. That I hope that there's something that sticks around
with others as well.
Yeah, with others as well.
Yeah.
So Adam, I would like to ask you like one final thing. I would like to, you have this specific, very specific job, and which I guess you have lots of things to say about it already. But there is something that I always like to talk with the guests. That is like I have like personally speaking, I have something like very I don't have like idols. I don't believe that we as human beings need to see other human beings as superior or inferior. Or
absolutely, I agree. Yeah.
When I see Chris Martin, for example, I see lots of greatness and I admire. That's the word. I have a very specific and very high level of admiration for this man and this band in this case. Like, but it's not like he or she or them are my idols, you know? Because I think that one thing that actually is very present on the Coldplay discourse is that we are all human. We're all the same. We should be all the same.
Absolutely, yeah.
And when I put that in perspective in your job, like you just said some minutes ago that you have already like been to lots of famous people. And what have you learned about that? About like when you see those people and like they are sometimes very rich or very famous and have some things that lots of people want to have but they don't have because of, I don't know, money and social status and those kind of things. Like, how do you see that?
I've learned a lot from this job and I see it, to be honest with you, exactly how you've described it. Very, very quickly doing this job, I mean, after the first 2 weeks of doing this job, and the first groups that I went out on tour with, you learn exactly that they are people. They're just people. And they're normally quite quiet, humble, kind people. Okay, not every single person is the same, but for the most part, that's exactly what they are. They're often very reclusive. They're very quiet. And actually, I think doing my job, you see the burden that being. That having status carries, you see the burden of it because quite often it makes them quite reclusive and quite shy because they are fully aware in their heads of how their fans see them, how other people see them. But quite often they don't want to be seen like that at all. They're just people.
Yeah.
And that's what they want to be seen as, is people. And you see some famous people in some very, very vulnerable situations doing this job, or just everyday. I mean, I've been on tour with bands where, I've been on the same bus with them, and they get up in the morning, and their hair's all over the place, and they're tired, and they've got bags under their eyes, and they just, they've just got out of bed basically, and then they've got a. Some of these gigs, you turn up at 7 o'clock in the morning and the tour bus, there's already fans waiting, hardcore fans waiting. And they still go out there, they open the bus door and they go out there and they greet them, they make signatures. And I mean, one band I was on tour with, they even invited them into the bus. Do you want to come and have a cup of tea?
Wow.
Come and have a drink. Come and have a cup of tea or a coffee. What do you want? What time have you been here since? Oh, I've been here since 5 o'clock this morning. But you must be tired. Come and have a coffee, generally speaking, they're very down-to-earth, kind, lovely people. And that's exactly what you see out of them. But that's exactly what they are. They're just one of us, and I think so I think in answer to your question, what I've learned is that they are the same as us. And it's a bit of a basic answer, but exactly that. Yeah. That's what I've learned.
Yeah, I think that nowadays, like on 2022, it's almost impossible for an artist to be like the idea, to have that idea of artist that we had like some years ago, that like a very inaccessible person or doesn't talk to people and that like only gives commands and
of course,
it's very rude. Because some years ago, like in the 80s or 90s, people didn't have the access to those kind of information like that much. Because if someone do those kind of things, like if someone is rude to a journalist in an interview, for example, this is going to become public very quickly. And boom, you have your career roasted. Like,
of course,
just like that. So like, I don't think that nowadays people can actually create a career being like that. Maybe I can be 100% wrong, but maybe like people who have been like that have now are like failed artists.
Yeah, that,
because yeah. we don't consume music just because of music. We listen to music because we connect to that. So once we see that this connection is being like damaged because of that, it is not a connection anymore.
Absolutely.
You know? It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, the connection is gone.
Yes.
And exactly right. And I think when you see if you see or hear of someone with status you say or a famous person who has been rude to a fan or has been, you know, or something along those lines, it definitely makes you feel a bit different towards that person.
Of course.
Because you sort of think, well, you know, okay, so you've got status and you've got fame and you've got money, but what does that really make you above anyone else? As a human being, how different does it make you? Well, the answer to that is it shouldn't make you any different. You know?
Yeah.
It's only the people that see themselves as something superior who have the problem.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And as you said, like, it's a job, like any others.
Of course, yeah. And I tell you what, you don't see it. You don't see how much of a job it is. People think that
yes,
it's easy for them, but wow, it's so not easy for them. It's different hotels every night. It's staying on a bus for 15 hours on a long journey. It's eating out of a catering kitchen. It's running on minimal sleep and jet lag and all these other things. It's going for a sound check every day at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. When all you really want to be doing is sleeping because you're tired from the night before. That's what this job is. And they work hard. They've worked hard to get where they are and they have to keep working hard to stay there, for sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, okay, they have more money than me or you, for sure, but absolutely that's irrelevant because they worked hard for it. And most people with money have worked hard for it and they continue to work. And it's no different.
But this is not about money, I mean. This is definitely not about money. Yes, of course they have money, but
of course, no, it's not about money, but the point I'm trying to make is that people are quick to say, oh well, they've got money, so
yeah, so everything is very easy and
do you know what, actually I think a lot of them would be happier with a lot less money now. You know, I think once it gets to a certain point they're like, well actually I don't care about the money anymore. I'm still out here doing what I do for the fans and for the music and for the people. That's why they're still doing it, you know.
Yeah,
And that's the main thing. And with Chris Martin, I actually have—I've always had a slight something similar with Chris Martin, in that he actually studied in Exeter University, which is very local to me.
Wow.
I live in a town called Newton Abbot, which is only about 20 minutes away from Exeter. So he's a bit of a local hero around our. We have Chris Martin who studied in Exeter, and then just around the corner. It's where the band Muse are from. So, we have a lot of great bands from the area in England. So I kind of guess like certain celebrities like Chris Martin or like Coldplay, the band, have got maybe, I feel like I have something slightly more in common with them.
Yes.
From a start, if that makes sense.
You know? It does.
And then to see how humble they are and how generous they are, how kind they are, is really nice because it kind of makes you feel like someone from your home has done the area proud, you know? It's like, wow, yeah. Okay.
I
if that makes sense.
It definitely does. I used to say here that I feel like Coldplay are my older brothers. I'm an only child, and I have never wanted to have like siblings in general, but I feel like when you were talking like some minutes ago about ghost stories that you said like, oh, if I had like to like understand this situation or this feeling, I would run to the record. That's what I have felt with the band in this entire life. Like if I don't understand something, or if I need to go back to basics, like to go back to what I actually believe, because sometimes we got up a bit messy, you know, inside.
We got
a bit confused about what we actually believe and what we don't believe, what is right and what is wrong. So usually when I have those feelings, I run to Coldplay, like I would run to another brother, you know? Like asking for advice,
absolutely.
Even though they're not actually answering me, like They're the ones that I ask for advice.
They've already answered you in one of the songs.
Exactly. It's not like I'm dependent on that. Like this, it's important to say that it's a very healthy relationship. but it's something. It's so beautiful. Like I feel so proud and so lucky at the same time. Like that I have this. People like they're older than me. That they live in a very different country from mine. They have very different like backstories. They're very different, but at the same time, we share the same values and the same ideas and the same perspectives from lots of things.
Absolutely, 100%. I agree with that.
Yeah, and they now created this great opportunity for us to meet each other and talk about things like. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be here talking to you and to the people who are listening.
And I wouldn't be here talking to you.
Yeah. So this is just so beautiful.
It was great. I was so happy to come across. So I'll just quickly, if you don't mind, I'll just quickly explain how I actually came across your podcast. Because
I would love to hear that.
I walked out of that show in Poland, absolutely, as I've already said, absolutely beside myself with all sorts of emotions, you know, with happiness, with some feeling of accomplishment, with all these great feelings going around and feeling naturally high from the show, you know?
Yeah.
And I listen to podcasts on the road all the time.
Oh.
When I've got my downtime, when I'm not driving, when I'm in my bunk sleeping, sometimes if I'm not sleeping, I'm just relaxing. I like to have a podcast on. Sometimes I fall asleep to it, you know, just to listen, just to have something in the background.
I know, to focus on.
And so I use Google Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts. I use a lot of different platforms. But anyway, I came out from the show and I got in my bunk and my ears were slightly ringing, you know, because I was standing quite close to the speakers on the stage.
Yeah.
And I just thought, hey, I wonder if I put Coldplay into the podcast to see what I get, you know?
Oh.
And of course your podcast came up and so I put an episode, I think I put the most recent episode on and I ended up falling asleep like I always in the podcast, you know, just enjoyed it and listened to a bit, fell asleep.
So I made you sleep, that's very nice.
Look, I don't mean it in a bad way.
I know, but like I'm messing around with you.
It's just nice, you know, and to have something in the background that you're interested in to listen to the fan that you're talking to speak about things, and, you know, and I really enjoyed it. And then I thought, hey, I'm going to send this guy a message because, you know, this is really cool and this is something I'd like to be a part of. And then here I am. So, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah. No worries at all. I thank you so much for, like, this is kind of brave, like, to message a guy that you don't even know that has a podcast, like, to saying, like, oh, I think I have some sort. This is brave, actually. So I thank you very much because...
It is, but then I think all your fans... all of us, what we have in common is that we just love the band and we want to talk about the band and we want to get different perspectives and different opinions about them, their music, who they are as people and whatever, you know. I fully support that going forward and I hope that, you know, there's lots and lots more of it.
Yeah, me too. Oh, so, wow, thank you very, very much. This was a very nice conversation. It was a very human conversation, actually.
It was, yeah.
Those are the best, actually. So thank you very much. Do you have anything else to say, like any final messages or something like that?
I think I've pretty much said everything. I mean, all I would say is to everyone listening who might be going through a tough time or might be struggling in life or maybe not quite where they want to be right now, it's just to stay with it and listen to lots more Coldplay, if that helps.
That does.
And just to try and stay focused on what makes you happy. Because you know what? Life is really tough right now for a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say to your listeners. Is just if you're struggling or you need help, don't be afraid to ask. But if you're just struggling and you're not sure what's going on in life, just try and keep your head down and try and get on with it as much as you can. And
yeah,
just tell people that you love them.
Yeah. and I think the word is balance, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. Find a balance. That's the word I'm looking
for. Yeah, the word is messy. The word is, like, shitty. It's not great. But at the same time, like, we cannot go deep into that, like, ungreatness of the word. Because if we do, we'll get definitely lost. So the word is balance.
Absolutely, yeah, of course.
So, well, Adam, thank you so, so much. It was a very big pleasure to have you here.
It's a pleasure to be here.
I hope that you stick around fine. And well, if you have more driving stories, please send me a message.
And absolutely,
No problem. Feel free to send a message. This is your home. I feel welcome and hugged.
Yeah, I feel like I found a new home for sure.
Oh, that's very nice. If you ever come to Brazil, you definitely have like a physical home. Don't worry about that.
Good stuff. And the same for you if you come to UK.
Oh, that's very nice. I love making this podcast because now I have like places to call home all over the world. So.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So one time I'll actually need that, so it's very great to have it. And it's nice that I'm recording, because if you say no later, I'll say it is recorded. I have proof.
Yeah. It's like a contract.
Yes, you have just signed a contract. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Adam, thank you very much. See you around.
Thank you so much.
Have a nice week.
Thank you.
Bye bye. Thank you.
And you. Cheers. Bye bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Go Talks. This podcast is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Rodrigo Samines. I also made the soundtrack of the show, which is original since season 2. Graphic design is made by Luiz Eduardo Pinheiro. I ask you please to rate the podcast and follow us in the platform that you're listening to. It helps us a lot. Also, if you like Go Talks and want to support the show, please consider buying us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/GoTalksPod to donate whatever you want. Also, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at GoTalksPod, P-O-D. Thank you very much and see you next week.